Well, it hasn't happened in 36 years, and now all of Westminster seems to be dreading its return. No, not bell-bottoms, but a hung parliament. Hi, I'm Justin Guest. Welcome to the Government Department Hot Seat. With us to discuss this very historic possibility is Professor Patrick Dunleavy. Thanks very much for being here, Professor.
Thanks for inviting me.
All right, well, let's get started. How exactly would a hung parliament affect the day-to-day politics of Westminster?
Well, Britain's in a kind of long-running, protracted transition from the old two and a half parties, Labour, Tory, plus the Liberals, to essentially a multi-party system. In every region of the country now, there are five or six parties that are really strongly in contention. We're like a kind of modern, standard European liberal democracy in terms of votes. But when you come to the parliament itself, we're not like that at all. Most of these parties are not represented. BNP, UKIP, Greens, they've got representation elsewhere, but not in Westminster. So the elites here are in a kind of denial, particularly the Conservative and Labour elites. They keep trying to pretend that there's a two-party contest. And that's what's creating the prospect of a hung parliament. Whereas I think we should see this instead of seeing it as a problem, we should see it as a kind of a very key transition moment in which we perhaps shift over decisively, and we all recognise that we've shifted over, to a kind of more standard European coalition government model. And I'm myself hopeful that there will be a hung parliament, because I think it reflects what the public really wants, and that in this hung parliament we would actually see the first formal peacetime coalition for a real, you know, four-year period. And that would be a big step forward, I think.
Now, that said, the rhetoric coming from the parties and the candidates themselves has certainly been anti-hung parliament, certainly for obvious reasons. It wouldn't be in their interest. Do you think that resonates with the British people?
No. There was a recent poll just the other day which showed that 44% of people think a hung parliament is a good idea, and the remainder are divided, sort of slightly less want a Conservative government, slightly less want a Labour government. So there's no reason to suppose that British voters don't know exactly what they're doing. And I think the old rhetoric which says you've got to choose me, and if you don't choose me, you'll get him. You know, people are rejecting that.
Now, as it has been since 1974, since the last time there was a hung parliament, maybe you can remind everyone, how do you think this will affect the everyday lives of British people and their civic life?
Well, I think the old thing people used to worry about a lot was you have a hung parliament, the financial markets sell the pound, and then you can't go abroad because your holidays become vastly too expensive, that kind of stuff. Or, you know, if you're paying mortgages overseas or whatever, making payments, then your bills change. I'm hoping that the markets have had enough time to discount for all these effects. And I'm hoping also that the markets will have better political intelligence and recognize that, you know, coalition governments and hung parliaments are the sort of pervasive norm for European governments. And this isn't something unusual. But we could expect, if the Conservative and Labour elites themselves behave in ways that are not very public interested, and the Conservatives, for example, Nick Clegg was denouncing them at the weekend for going around, you know, stirring up anxiety about a hung parliament. And I agree with him. I mean, it's just flatly against national interest to pretend that this is going to be some dreadful and difficult conjecture. It just means that political elites who don't want to negotiate with somebody else will have to negotiate with somebody else.
So now, certainly, there's some contingency planning amongst the parties. What do you think that entails? What is their perspective on how to deal with this and actually make laws and run the country?
Well, I think we've got to think about what the election result is. Now, there are two possibilities. One is that David Cameron falls just short of an overall majority. So it's a very shallow hung parliament. And he's got various other people like Northern Ireland unionists and people. And he can perhaps rely on the fragmented inability of the other parties to cooperate in that situation. So we could have a minority government, but it's hard to see such a government lasting for very long unless they have some agreement with the Liberal Democrats. And, you know, David Cameron has set up a strategy unit recently to just focus on the hung parliament thing, but only very recently, in the last couple of weeks, as the Tory poll leader's drifted away, has he done that. A second possibility is that we could have a deep hung parliament. Now here, this means that no government really has enough to get by. They couldn't survive even a basic vote without some support or some agreement of other parties to go along with them being in government. Now, first thing here is, does Gordon Brown stay in office or does he try to do a deal with the Liberal Democrats? He is not very well placed to do a deal because he has a poor reputation as a peaceable, fun-loving guy who you'd like to run a coalition government with. And the Liberal Democrats have said that they wouldn't do a deal if he stayed. And I think it would just be unlikely in that situation. So we could imagine that he might then resign. Then David Cameron has to try and do a deal. Now his problem is that he's close to the Liberal Democrats on some things like scrapping ID cards. They're probably not a million miles away in terms of running the budget and things, but they are a million miles away on things like House of Lords reform and changing the Commons electoral system, whereas Labour are not. They're very close to Liberal Democrat policy on that, and similarly they're not very far apart on budget. So, and in particular the Liberal Democrats, I think, will be looking, if it is a deep hung parliament, to get some cabinet posts. They've got actually, three very well-known, very talented people, Nick Clegg, Chris Huhne and Vincent Cable, all of whom are much more competent than most of the existing cabinet. So there's no probable problem about them joining a kind of coalition in that sense. But whether the Conservatives would be able to do that or not is tricky. And David Cameron's in a weak position vis-a-vis his right wing. So that would be a very difficult thing. And, he may prefer to try and just run a minority government for a few months and then try and call another general election and hope that by then the wind of change was with him. But if you look elsewhere at other systems very similar to the British, let's look at Canada, for example. They have had a Conservative government with a minority, and they've called, they had a first general election, it was a hung parliament. The Prime Minister has twice tried to have another general election and get a majority and not got a majority. So I think there's a very real chance that that strategy won't work for David Cameron, and it won't be like 1974, which was, 35 years ago, and times have changed enormously since then.
So what do you think it will require for Westminster to have this realization, this epiphany, that the two-party system is effectively obsolete in this country?
Well, one really great opportunity, one scenario that might work runs like this. It's a deep hung parliament. Maybe David Cameron has got more seats than Labour, which seems quite likely. So Gordon Brown resigns. Everybody in the Labour Party who doesn't like Gordon Brown, and there are plenty of candidates for that job, will stab him in the back. He then resigns as party leader. Labour gets its act together. Meanwhile, choosing a new leader, somebody cuddly like Alan Johnson or David Miliband, somebody who could negotiate very well and who would be a pleasant prime minister to work for, somebody that Liberal Democrats might trust. Meanwhile, David Cameron goes away, starts his government, comes back with a budget, Queen's Speech, presents to Parliament. By that time, there's a Lib-Lab coalition in place. They say no. And he then has to resign. He might then go to the Queen and say, give me another general election. But if there was a Lib-Lab deal in place, the Queen wouldn't need to say yes, and then you could have a four-year Lib-Lab government. Now that, if any scenario like that, would very decisively herald this change that I think is going to happen in British politics sometime. If it doesn't happen in 2010, it will happen in 2015 or 14. But that's the kind of change you'd need to see.
All right, that'll do it. Professor Patrick Dunleavy, you are off the hot seat. Thanks for being with us. And thank you for tuning into this month's edition of The Hot Seat. Please do tune into our website in the next few months as we examine other topics in the upcoming British campaign.